I want to thank the Potswats for allowing us to stay in their house during this conference. And I want to thank all of y'all for providing for us on the field, all those that support us. I think this is all for, not just for me, but for all the missionaries. We truly do thank you. We don't want to come sound like we're pleading, but we do thank you for what y'all doing. And thank all the sisters that have made meals and cooked. And sometimes it's not easy just to go up and tell you thank you, you know, but we do thank you for all that. And the husbands that provided for all the foods, I thank you for all that. And I speak, I think, on parts of all the missionaries. I'll thank the Lord that my brother, he's here tonight with his wife. He's pretty close to death recently. At least that's why I understood it when I was down in Morelia. But he's alive. And his testimony is that he saves. And I just thank the Lord for that. I got one more brother that's not saved. I want you to pray for him. His name's Jose. He's still tender, but I know the Lord can save him. So thank you, brother, for coming tonight. Amen. Open your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 4. We've had a good meeting. I've really heard some good stuff from winning souls to the fellowship, the brethren. And I was just really, really encouraged by these messages. But I want to speak on something a little more on a serious basis, because it's necessary that we really get serious with the Lord. The Lord's showing me so often as I fail that how much I need to progress in Him. I'll never reach perfection, but I want to progress. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I don't want to be set on the shelf. I want to be used of the Lord.
Amen.
And I think it's important that we look at the judgment of God. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, and it says in 17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" You know, I was thinking about this, and I wrote down a few things that I know that I'm gonna have to give account of. The Bible says that we're all going to face the judgment seat of Christ, those that are saved. There's another judgment, which is the great white throne, and that's for those that don't get saved. Whether they heard the gospel or not, they will go to that judgment. You ought to count it fortunate that you are in a Bible church, a church that preaches the gospel and clearly, without a bunch of sham, without a bunch of looking for feelings and emotions. Amen. Somebody just going to read you the book, tell you like it is. It might hurt you, but it's for your good. You ought to be thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. I don't want to be dealt with a bunch of falseness and, hey, you know, this and that and the other, and just a bunch of hypocrisy comes out. I want truth.
Amen.
I don't want no one to pat me on the back and put a bill on me and say, "Look, come on in, sit down." No, I want truth.
Amen.
Bible says we need to buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
Truth will cost you. And it's not something that's talking about in money, and it could also be that. But I'm talking about truth will cost you something. Buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
It says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." It must begin. It says, "For the time is come." Is come. Not that it will come. And this will happen too. The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And I wrote these few things about the Christian. First of all, what I and you as a Christian will have to give account of. We'll have to give account of what we did with our time. With our time. time. God gave us time. He gave us life. He gave us time. And you know, like the sun comes up, the sun goes down. And during this period of time, we have to give account of. And too much of us, excuse me. This thing's broke. All right. Time, brother. Too much of us waste our time.
Amen.
Too much of us waste our time. Time is precious.
Amen.
Time is running out. Time is something valuable, and we need to put our priorities, get our priorities right. We need to get our time set right. You know, the Bible says, not the Bible, but this is something that's biblically based. Yeah, the idle mind is a devil's workshop. You know, that's one thing that the missionary needs to constantly keep himself doing something right, doing what's right. Not just the missionary. This is everybody, because the idle mind is where the devil starts working. Get yourself idle and he will start working on you. You'll have to give account, like I have to give account, of our time. Are we wasting time? Another thing I thought about, our bodies. Our bodies. God gave us this life, and he's going to take it one day. He gave us this body. You know, you might not agree with what he gave you, but he gave you that body. Brother, I think all of us can say there's one thing in our life, somewhere in our life or in our body that we're not satisfied with, but that's just the way it is.
Amen.
But you know what? The Bible says that he wants us to be a living sacrifice.
Amen.
Holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's reasonable. It's
Amen.
Nothing. He's not asking much.
Right.
Holy means to be apart, set apart. We need to give account of what are we doing with our bodies. Take care of that body. You take care of that body. You better eat right. You eat what's right. Eat good. Eat what's right. You need to see what you do with that body. Get that exercise. But what are you doing with that body all the time? We need to give account of what we did with our bodies. How about with our neighbors? With our neighbors. You know, someone preached this morning that our conversation ought to be what becometh the gospel of Christ. And that was a good message, Bill. That really, really spoke to me in the area where it's not just when I need to preach the gospel that I put on the Christian outfit. Well, we put on Christ. The Bible says put on Christ. You know, it's not a put on, it's put him on. And we need to put him on constantly. Not just when we speak, not when we just preach in the streets. Whatever it might be, we need to be ready to have Christ on always. Because sometimes we get caught off guard. And we do foolish things.
Amen.
Foolish things. I'm not going to tell you my foolish things. But I tell you what, I'm paying the consequence for a dumb thing that I've done. Dumb thing that I did. And Brother Mike can't take it back. Like it was preached, boy, it was a good meeting this morning. You know, young people, y'all that didn't hear this message this morning, I want to give you a little bit about it. It's this, you know, the things that you sow now, you're going to reap in biblical terms. There's a consequence of what we are laying down, whether you're young or old. Our neighbors, they watch us. They hear from us. They know you're a Christian. And if we don't have on Christ, I mean, constantly, it's a battle, brethren. You know it. You and I know it. It's a battle because we're also human. We're carnal. But the devil wants to destroy our testimonies. We'll have to give account what we did with our neighbors. Did we love our neighbors? Did we get them the gospel? How about loved ones? We'll have to give account of what we did with our loved ones.
Amen.
How we live before them. How we live before our children. What do we allow in our lives? And we say it's okay in our lives, but because y'all are kids, it's not okay for you. We need to be careful. Because they see. They know. They're not dumb. Not just the children. Our loved ones. Family members. Loved ones. What have you done for them to get them the gospel message? What have you done? Have you given up? If you can't preach to them, you can pray for them. You know, that's one thing I've seen in my family's experience, that I couldn't see myself always preaching to them, being a machine just there. I had to give it over to the Lord's hands. Lord, you have your way in my brother's lives. You have your way in my mother's life and my father's life when they were alive. Loved ones, what about you? Have you given up on them? We have to give account of how we lived before our loved ones also. How about our talents? Some of us in here have many talents, but they're hidden. They're hidden. Some of you brethren here are just part of an assembly, which is great, but you have talents that you need to desarrollar. You need to develop. You need to let them out. You need to look for them, because God's going to ask you, what'd you do with that talent? What'd you do with those talents? Some of you've got more than others. You got more talents. What have you done with those talents? Have you let fear of what men might think or whatever it might be keep those talents down? You got some talents, brother. You got some talents, sister. And God's going to give account. He's going to ask you, how come you didn't trust in me? How come you didn't believe in me? How come you feared man instead of developing that talent or those talents? Judgment Day's coming, and we'll have to give account of God's work, the lost world, finances, what you did as a steward. You'll have to give account.
Amen.
You know, the missionary has to give account of his stewardship. You know, the pastors have to give account of their stewardship. You know, it's a blessing. Because you can see exactly what this church does. They'll post it on the board for you. And you know what? They're not looking for a reward here on earth. They're looking for an eternal reward. They're looking for a blessing. And God's blessing them because of them looking for a blessing. And God wants to bless you too. What about your stewardship? Are you wasting your money on like was preached a while ago, on worldly goods and things like that? Hey, we need these things. There's some things we don't need. There's other things that we need. But is that emphasis, like Joe was saying, is our emphasis wrong? You have to give account of what God has allowed you to have in finances. How about our thought life? Let's get a little more down home. Our thought life, the idle mind, the devil's workshop, our thought life. Too often we trust in that, with that grace which is sufficient, that it abounds over every sin, and we just rest in that truth, that God has forgiven us and cleansed us from all sins, but then we live a life with entertaining bad thoughts. All of these things, brethren, judgment must begin at the house of God. This is the house of God. We are the house of God. You're the house of God. I'm the house of God. And the houses of God are meeting in a house of God. Judgment must begin here, brethren. Our thought life. I thought of one more. There's probably thousands more. But I thought of one more. Ministry. You as a Christian, ministry. That kind of goes along with talents. What ministry are you doing? You might be doing a ministry, praise the Lord. That's good. Is there something else God wants you to do? Could it be that God's calling you to be a missionary?
Amen.
Could it be? You know that God's dealing with you about it. You know it. And you know what? If you know God's dealing with you about it, to search this matter out, whether he would have you go somewhere else and do his will in somewhere else besides San Antonio, truly, it might not be for everybody, but it might be that he's dealing with you about it. And if you just overlook that thought and just keep putting it off and putting it off, God's not going to touch your heart no more. And what's going to happen? God's going to ask you, what'd you do with that pull I was pulling on your heart with? I was calling you to be a missionary and you didn't obey. Brethren, judgment must begin at the house of God. You could probably think of other things, how the Lord's dealing with you. Go back there to 1 Peter 4. It says 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians and look at that, follow that thought over here. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Some serious stuff. This is God's word. It says in verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In flaming fire taking vengeance. This sounds cruel. Listen. Flaming fire, a fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. Listen to that a minute. There's a lot that know not God. They haven't even heard the gospel. And God's coming down with flaming fire of vengeance. It says there he's going to give them a punishment. It's an everlasting destruction. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Brethren, have you caught the vision of this truth? Too often we read the scriptures and it's, ho-hum, this is truth. This is truth. I see more and more that man deserves to go to hell.
Amen.
I am more and more convinced of it. Children down in Mexico will get a rock and throw it at the preacher, and he'll lift up another god. He'll say, Viva la Virgen, which is, I guess, alive, the virgin. Okay. We ain't speaking in tongues here, are we? Or at least we're biblical. We're interpreting. Well, maybe not. There's too many interpreters. No. Praise the Lord. Hell is a real place, and I'm being more convinced. I am convinced, but I'm just being more convinced by what the Lord showed me. Children can get a rock and throw it at the preacher and lift up another god before the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, they're ignorant. They don't know. That's why they need someone like you to tell them. Someone like you to endure. Someone like you to endure the suffering that they might become saved. Today, my wife was getting her hair trimmed at some salon. And we were sitting there, me and the kids, waiting for her to get her hair finished and whatever. And and these two, I couldn't tell if they were men or women, walked in, one with earrings all over her ear, big old gold glasses, and the other one, well, there's no need to just try and describe them, but they came in and they sat right beside me. I said, I ain't got no tracks. The easy way out, get my track, right? And go. And the Lord was just pressing my heart. And I looked over to both of them. And I said, have y'all heard the gospel? And it wasn't but a second, but that one looked like she was the man. She got that hand and said, you know, rebellion. Men are rebellion. You're trying to give them the love of the gospel of their souls that they might be saved. And like that. And then the other one next to her, I said, well, can I tell you about the gospel? And no, she turns away. You know what? I went ahead and told them both anyway.
Amen.
I was waiting for one of those back elbows or one of those.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? But they didn't come. But you know what, brethren? They need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
I said, I don't want your blood on my hands.
Amen.
I don't want your blood on my hands. And I want you to know one thing. Jesus Christ, he was condemned for you where you won't be condemned. If you just trust them. I'll try to make it as clear as I could. After my wife got done, we just got up and left. Who knows? They might get saved. It's not for us to leave with a bad attitude. They might get saved. It says here, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Thinking on that a minute. Know not God. There's tribes, there's people throughout the world that don't even have a preacher. Some of these ranchos that we're hitting around Morelia don't have a preacher. And they know not God. And you know what? If when they get to that great white throne, they're going to have to give account. whether they heard the gospel or not. And then it says, and flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like these two young ladies. Well, at least for that this day, they didn't obey the gospel of Christ. Obey the gospel of Christ is, well, one thing, you got to listen to it or want to listen to it. Okay, let's hear it. That's obedience. When you cut off, that's not being obedient. It's being rebellious. And I thought about that. They don't obey the gospel. Some have the privilege to hear your words of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for them to save them, and they won't obey the gospel. Others know not God. They don't have a preacher. They don't have a Bible, or if they do, they won't read it, or whatever it might be. But it says here clearly, they'll be punished with everlasting destruction. And I'm convinced, man is worthy of hell. Amen. I'm worthy of hell. But I thank the Lord, Amen. One for my hell.
Amen.
Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Scripture passage is always a blessing to me. Can't get no clearer than this. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
This is the gospel message. This is the good news. This is what you can say, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Here in verse 2, Paul, he calls them brethren, all. But then he says in verse 2, by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. He kind of puts a stipulation in there. You're saved unless you believe in this gospel in vain. If you don't believe what Jesus has done for you in taking your sins, shedding his blood to wash away your sins, that he rose again to justify you, if you don't believe solely in this, and if you're trusting in something else, whether good works, baptism, whatever it might be, adding to this, you have believed in vain. And this is my good news. This is your good news. And if you haven't trusted, if you haven't received this good news, you need to believe it with all your heart. And you will be saved.
Amen.
If you and your heart repent of your wicked lifestyle, of your false gods, religions, whatever you're trusting in, whatever it might be that you're putting up over this gospel message, you need to repent of those things and trust this gospel message,
Amen.
And you will be saved.
Amen.
Do you believe God's word? That's what you got to do. You got to believe God's word. And he'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll give you that Holy Spirit, and he'll give you confirmation of your salvation. Brethren, judgment's coming, and judgment is now. And praise the Lord that Jesus bore your judgment.
Amen.
We need to tell him.
Amen.